I'm so happy that Nylander is now signed. You, did it make your weekend?
Yeah, it actually did. I was very excited about it and very excited to see it put to bed. And good deal.
In good deal in what way?
Well, look, it's a tough deal. And, you know, it's really interesting how the landscape has changed. That, okay, we've got a player that is going to withhold his services, which he's entitled to. His contract's expired. And a team that's, you know, negotiating with him. And in the past, it's always been, okay, we'll let him sit. We'll let him rot. We'll let him do whatever he wants. And in this case, it seemed to turn that the pressure seemed to go on the team versus the guy that was sitting out. And it was strange because it's interesting because it's a changed landscape. It's now you've got a shorter windows. Now you've got caps. Now you've got asset management or even more asset management. So what are you going to do? You're going to let him sit till next October, or are you going to get him signed and have that asset available to play or to trade moving forward? So the pressure switched, and in my opinion, it switched, and both were under extreme pressure. We said this, I said this on this show last September, last August, be careful on this one. His father is going to be heavily involved. I remember saying that to you guys,
yep.
And this kid, you got to give him credit. He hung in there, and the Leafs get it done. So it's an interesting deal in that they paid a premium, no doubt about that. But to me, it was pay a premium, get them done, and now you've got the asset for 6 years, and you can make either replace for you or you can trade them. And at this price, as high as it is, he's tradable. No doubt about that.
Doug, your pal Brian Burke made some headlines on Saturday night after the deal saying you can't pay your sixth or arguably seventh best player that much money against the salary cap. But he's not wrong about Nylander being the sixth or arguably the seventh best player on this team, is he?
He's not wrong about that. But in my opinion, this is asset management. And okay, so maybe today he's the sixth or seventh best player. We don't know where he's going to be when he and Matthews team up and go to another level. We don't know that. And the other thing is, he may be the fifth or sixth or seventh best player on this team, but he could be traded to a team where he's the number two best player or the number two best forward. So you have to be careful in that. So what I'm saying is, if he's traded to Anaheim and it's a great deal for the Leafs and assets they bring back and he becomes the second best forward on Anaheim, he's in the right price range. That's why the deal was tough. He had an inkling he might be getting traded. So his philosophy was, ill, if you guys are going to trade me, if there's any potential chance that you're going to be trading me, then I'm going to be paid. I want to be paid a premium that I'd be paid if I was the second best player in another team. So, you know, that's to me, that's what makes this an okay deal. Yeah, they overpaid. Okay, this is going to affect all the other signings. I'm sorry. This is not going to affect Line A. This is not going to affect Rantanen. This is not going to affect Tkachuk. Come on, these guys were getting paid no matter what. These guys, it's different. These group twos are the best players on their team. They're going to be paid. This is going to have no bearing on it. So it's easy to criticize Dubas. It's easy to criticize the Leafs. But they've got the asset, and now they can use them, or now they can trade them. And it was a tough negotiation.
But that was a subplot. I mean, other general managers and what you were giving this guy, and everyone's sitting waiting for the number. And so how do they look at it now, the other GMs that are going to have to deal?
Who cares? Who cares how they look at it? You're in a cap situation. You've got to do what's best for your team. And look, I've been in this situation where you're negotiating and you're saying, well, the other GMs, who cares about these? You think the other GMs care about the Leafs? Like, why would you got to get the best possible deal you can, extreme pressure that you don't want them sitting out and rotting the rest of the year. There's extreme pressure. So, like, did the Calgary Flames care that they gave Goudreau a new market, that they set him in a new market situation? Did the Bruins care when they put Pasternak in that situation that they paid him $600,000-$700,000 more than the previous one? Come on, you can't. You got to do what's best for your team. So this talk about do you think the GMs care if they come in and make offer sheets next year? Come on, you can't care about the other GM. You got to care about your cap, what you can afford, and you do the deal based on that, not about what other GMs think. Sorry, those days are gone in my opinion.
Well, Doug, are we also comparables? Because everybody was saying you can't pay Nylander more than Pastrnak, you can't pay him more than Goudreau, but obviously this is a great deal for the PA as well. Are we past that in hockey? And I know it's a hard cap, but the NFL has a hard cap too. When Joe Flacco is the top paid quarterback in the NFL 2 years ago, when clearly he's not the best player, are we at the point now in the NHL where these guys are going to get their money because the salary cap's going up and they don't care what other guys in the league are making?
Yeah, it's going to go up because the game has changed and the best players on teams are their young guys. I mean, if Line A gets 50 goals this year, do you think the Nylander deal is going to have any impact on him? If Tkachuk, who it may be by the end of the year, the best player on the Calgary Flames or one of their top three, do you think he's going to care what Nylander got? Come on, I think these guys are going to get their money. I mean, Marner and Matthews are going to set a whole new marketplace when they sign. Is that going to affect it? I mean, you can't worry about that. I really think the game has changed in that the best players are now the kids. The older guys will probably get hurt. They won't like it. So, and Brian mentioned that, and I agree with that. But I think it's becoming more of a team situation, and you got to do what's best for your team. And you have to make the analysis whether they fit in your cap. And if they don't, then you're going to have to trade them.
So everything that you just said should tell us that this is the time. Like, this is day one of the future when teams start giving offer sheets to players like Marner and Matthews. I don't care about other general managers and what they think about me. This is the best for my organization, and I'm now going to go after players that the National Hockey League has not done.
Did Paul Holmgren care about Nashville?
That's
when
one guy.
Made an offer sheet?
That's one
Whoever
guy. There have been so many players
Ryan
be.
Ryan O'Reilly, did they care when there was an offer sheet made for Ryan O'Reilly? I mean, it's happened, but does it happen more often? I don't know. The problem is they may be more offer sheets, but people are going to match. In all likelihood, they'll match and do whatever they have to do. The difference, here's what we're up against, guys, in my opinion. Teams, because the young guys have sort of taken over our game from a skill perspective and made the game so much younger, they're going to get paid. You can't compare it to 5 years ago or 7 years ago. The kids are going to get paid. The difference is you used to pay when you won the cup. Chicago paid after they won the cup. L.A. paid after they won the cup. Now it looks like we may be moving into an era that we have to pay before we win. And that's maybe a little bit frustrating for GMs.
Doug, I didn't think we were going to go down the offer sheet because a lot of people are terrified about the offer sheet, especially when it comes to Auston Matthews. But if I'm Marc Bergevin in Montreal and I see my rival struggling with salary cap issues and I haven't had a number one superstar center, why wouldn't I offer $14.5 million to Auston Matthews? I'll give up those four first-round picks that won't be in the top 15 anyway because I have Auston Matthews. And worst-case scenario, is the Leafs have to match it, and then they're in a pinch because of their salary cap.
Yeah, that may happen. You're allowed to do it. It's within your CBA rights. You're allowed to do that. But I still believe that the Leafs will match an offer, and then they'll have to worry about it. And that's why having Nylander on a 6-year deal can be important, because you can move Nylander and you can get some tremendous assets in return. If he and Matthews hit the magic that we think they're going to hit and become an unbelievable duo, similar to a Tavares Marner. So, you look, this isn't anything new. Chicago Blackhawks have had to tear their team down. They had to move Panarin because they're worried sick about what was going to happen. They weren't getting anywhere with Schmaltz. They had to move him because they're worried about, even a Schmaltz they're worried about because they couldn't get the numbers to work. So good teams have these problems. So, hey, if there's offer sheets, then they'll have to deal with those. But all I'm saying, guys, is the Leafs paid a premium, but they couldn't let Nylander sit till next October when they're a contending team and they either need him or they need the assets he'll bring to contend. You can't let the window slip by. That's where all the pressure was, guys. And I give them credit for stepping up and not saying, okay, we're going to just let them sit out. They could, in my opinion, they couldn't do that. And I've been saying that for 6 months. This isn't anything new.
Does this have anything to do with potential Jake Gardner talks?
Well, I don't know. It comes back to the same thing. You got to try to get him, fit him in. He's a top four defenseman on your team. I know they're hoping Dermott moves into that top four, but he's their leading 5-on-5 defenseman. He's an important guy in their team. So, you know, that's going to be a challenge for them. No doubt about that. As it is, but you don't have to be too smart. You go around the league, and there's very few teams that don't have cap issues moving forward. And it's because of the 12 to 15 young guys that are out there this summer. And whether Nylander signed or not, they're still out there, and they're still going to hit home runs even with or without Nylander's deal. They're going to hit home runs. They're either going to hit a home run by salary or they're going to hit a home run where they take short deals. And that's what I'd be afraid of. I'm a GM that a line A is going to say, I only want a 4-year deal, and then I'm going to walk as an unrestricted free agent. That's what I'd be afraid of versus 6-7-year deals, 8-year deals. That's the next step.
Our NHL insider is Doug McLean. Always a pleasure, Doug, but it's extra today.
Fired up today.
Oh,
I'm
telling you. It was crazy.
Who was the George guy I was on with?
It's that handsome,
the voice.
Handsome fellow.
George, good to hear from you, man. I didn't know. What are you doing with that funny phone number? I didn't know it was you, man.
A funny phone number? No, that was Mike Sesney. No. Greg and Hugh aren't here. I'm doing the work of two men today, Doug, just so you know.
Good job. You've always been a top dog in my books.
Thanks, pal. Go.